Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
You see, whenever you're in a situation, and like I said, maybe you're not realizing at the moment that this is temptation, but suddenly you're starting to rationalize what you're about to do. And, well, I know that the Bible says this, but I don't think it really means that. I think it allows that you're rationalizing. And what's happening is you're being tempted. You have to realize that.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues the topic of spiritual warfare. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, in a message titled, The Tempter and Temptation. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
So, we come to temptation today. Satan's most notorious activity is that of tempting mankind. I mean, when we think of the devil, well, we normally think of him as the tempter. That's just I think for most people, that's the thing that immediately comes into the mind. Now, temptation is the solicitation to do evil. The solicitation to do evil. That's what temptation is. And it is the common experience of all people, whether you are a Christian or not. Everybody's tempted. The devil tempts all people. But he is especially targeting Christians. He puts forth extra effort in tempting Christians because he knows that if he can bring down a Christian, he can to some degree discredit the church and bring reproach to the name of the Lord. And that's really what he wants to do. He wants to see Christians stumble. He wants to see Christians fall into sin so he can then point to them and say, check this out. Look at these Christian people. Yep, you're right. They're all hypocrites. Look at them. They said one thing and they do something else. And that is part of his agenda. It's part of his program. And so that's one of the reasons why he tempts us. Another reason Satan will tempt you is simply because he hates you and he wants to destroy you. And therefore, he's going to try to destroy you by tempting you and getting you into sin, because sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. James reminds us of that in his epistle, James 1:15. When Peter referred to Satan as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, he was no doubt thinking about Satan's activity in tempting men. A roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The picture there is obviously a very destructive one. John Phillips wrote, he's a Christian speaker, author, writer. He wrote a commentary on Ephesians. And in his commentary, he gave a graphic picture of what this temptation looks like. Let me read it to you. He said, Satan has been studying human nature ever since man was created. Satan helped forge fallen human nature. He is a master psychologist. One person he assaults with the lust of the flesh, another the lust of the eye, someone else with the pride of life. The lust of appetite, the love of applause, and the lure of ambition are among the host of darts Satan uses to kindle fierce fires in our souls. He knows our weaknesses and strengths. He sends his legion of evil spirits to titillate our senses, inflame our desires, corrupt our souls, weaken our wills, deceive our minds, deaden our consciences, and distort God's truth. Satan has 1,000 wiles and he never gives up. He never gives up. This is what he does, and he does it 24/7, 365 days a year, year after year, decade after decade, century after century. This is what he does. This is what we are faced with. So with death and destruction as the aim of the tempter, we cannot take temptation lightly. This is where we have to realize, oh, we really are in a battle, and it's a battle for our souls. And so there are three things that we need to do in relation to this. Number one, we need to be able to recognize temptation. We need to be able to realize that this is what is happening. And then secondly, we need to do our best to avoid temptation. And then thirdly, we need to know how to overcome temptation. So those are our three points that we're going to look at. First of all, recognizing temptation. Let me say this, temptation in and of itself is not sin. Sometimes we get confused and we think because we're being tempted that we're sinning. But that's not the case. You can be tempted. You can be sorely tempted. You can be pressed on by the enemy. And you can even have impulses, internal impulses corresponding to that, that are sort of, you know, seemingly wanting to push you in a certain direction. But as long as you resist that, if you're not surrendering to it, you're not sinning. You're just under a real, in the case like I just described, be like just a severe type of a temptation. But just know that up front. Temptation in and of itself is not sin. Now, in recognizing temptation, we've got to realize this. Temptation is often subtle. See, the devil, he's subtle. He likes to stay behind the scenes. He quite often disguises himself so well that we don't even realize his involvement. Now, another thing that he does in that regard is he comes oftentimes in our minds, or even sometimes it can happen through another person even, but he comes at times as a concerned friend. He comes as sort of a sympathetic voice, like a seasoned angler who knows just the right bait. Satan knows our areas of weakness, and he tempts us accordingly. He knows our areas of weakness because he's spent all of human history observing human behavior. And he studies us. And he develops a strategy that he wants to use against us that's fashioned specifically for us. And so he will come with something that's just perfectly fit for where you're at. Now, sometimes he appears as an angel of light. You're looking for something spiritual in your life. You're realizing that the whole material thing isn't doing it for you. So you want to get something spiritual. Well, the enemy will come along and he'll present a spirituality to you, but it's a false spirituality. So he will come sometimes as an angel of light. He might come as a damsel in distress for us men. Oh, here's a young, vulnerable gal that just needs somebody to listen and somebody to maybe help out or something. But behind all of that, he's looking to seduce people. And it works both ways, of course, because he can also come as a knight in shining armor. Suddenly, here's this dashing man that steps into your life. Maybe it's somebody you just meet out in the community, maybe it's somebody you work with or something like that, and they're giving you attention, and they seem to be so kind and gracious, and you got this jerky, inconsiderate husband back at home, and man, this guy is so, well, hey, wake up. There's something going on behind the scenes here. This is the kind of thing the enemy does. Sometimes it's the solution to your financial problems. It's like, here, look at this. Nobody's going to know that you take this, and this is going to be so helpful for you if you do that. So he's got a variety of things. Sometimes it's the answer to your poor self-image. The list goes on and on and on. Though temptation is sometimes difficult to recognize because of the subtlety of it, and because, as I said, Satan is hiding behind the scenes, though it is sometimes difficult to recognize, you can be sure you're being tempted whenever you are faced with a situation that would lead you to rationalize, compromise, or in any way disobey the word of God. You see, whenever you're in a situation, and like I said, maybe you're not realizing at the moment that this is temptation, but suddenly you're starting to rationalize what you're about to do. And, well, I know that the Bible says this, but I don't think it really means that. I think it allows that you're rationalizing. And what's happening is you're being tempted. You have to realize that. Or when a situation arises where, well, you know, God understands, and you can give a little bit here. It'll be okay. That's a compromise. That's a temptation. And then, of course, more blatantly would just be these situations that arise where we are being tempted to just flat out disobey the word of God. So recognizing temptation is the first step to having victory over it. But secondly, we need to do our best to avoid temptation. Now, I say that, but the reality is we can never completely avoid temptation because we're not the ones that are in control of that. You know, I can't stop the devil from tempting me. He's going to do that. And, you know, that because, as we said, that's just part of what he does. So I can never completely avoid temptation, but we need to make sure that we're not putting ourselves in places or situations that will lead us into temptation. Look, we don't want to give the devil any help. He's plenty capable on his own. We don't want to assist him in any way. So we need to be careful that we are not putting ourselves in a vulnerable place. We need to have a realistic view of ourselves. See, people get themselves into trouble because they put themselves in positions where they can stumble and fall, and they often do that because they're not willing to admit the vulnerability that they have. They think, oh, well, you know, hey, that's not going to bother me. No, I'm above that. I'm stronger than that. I'm better than that. I can handle that. The minute you start thinking that way, you're on your way to a fall. Paul said to the Corinthians, if any man thinks he stands, let him take heed lest he fall. So the moment I think that I am above some kind of thing, I'm already on my way down. The enemy's got me in a hold right there. So we have to recognize that. We have to have a realistic view of ourselves. This means recognizing our weaknesses and staying away from those things that pose a special problem for you. We have to be wise. We have to be careful. So recognizing temptation, avoiding temptation, the best we can, not, you know, putting ourselves in those vulnerable places. But then we come to overcoming temptation. Now, the only good news about temptation really is that we can overcome it. Now, the interesting thing, you know, God allows us to be tempted. He doesn't tempt us. We're told specifically that God is not tempted with evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But every person is tempted when they're led away by their own lust. So know this, God does not tempt us, but he does allow us to be tempted. And there's two things that happen in temptation. There's the opportunity to show our love for God. We say that we love God. And oftentimes what temptation is it's really the opportunity to put something above God. So God allows that. Do we really love him? We say we love him. Well, do we really love him? Well, here's an opportunity to test and see. But the other thing that happens is that we get strengthened when we pass victoriously through temptation. It's like we become better fighters spiritually, and you become stronger. And so God uses these things also to strengthen us. But God's word tells us that victory is possible. It is not just possible, it's God's desire for us. The Apostle John, in his first letter, he said, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. God's given us his word to show us what sin is and through his word to strengthen us so we don't sin. David said, your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. So God's given us his word in order that we can grow and be strengthened and have that victory over sin. Now, when John says, I write these things to you that you may not sin, he's not referring to a sinless perfection. We never come to a place where we're perfectly sinless in this life. But what he's talking about is the increasing victory over those attitudes and behaviors that bind us up, keep us back from all that God has for us, and dishonor Christ our Savior. So James tells us how to obtain this victory in James 4, verses 7 and 8. And this is what he said. He said, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So let's just walk through those steps. Number one, submit to God. So this is the path to victory over temptation, submission to God. Victory begins with total submission to God. If I'm sort of playing around with my spiritual life, if I'm not really committed to Christ, if I haven't made a real sincere commitment to him of submitting my life, then it's going to be difficult, if not impossible, to be victorious over sin. Jesus has got to be the Lord of our lives. So that's where it starts. Submit to God. But then he says, resist the devil. Resist him. We're in a battle. We have to put forth resistance. We have to push back. The enemy pushes against us. We have to push back against him. So resisting means that we stand in faith on the word of God against the temptations that Satan brings our way. And that's exactly what we saw Jesus doing in the passage in Matthew that we read together today. Did you see how every time Satan comes with a temptation, Jesus responds back to him with the word of God? And what he's doing there is he's modeling for us. Now, I want to point this out to you. Jesus had victory over Satan, not as a divine being, but as a human being. When Jesus resisted the devil in the wilderness, he wasn't resisting him as God. He wasn't saying, Satan, get out of here. I'm God. I could just obliterate you any second. He wasn't acting in his divinity. He's acting in his humanity. And so he's giving us a picture of how we as human beings as well can combat the devil and have victory over him. So what did Jesus do when he was tempted? Well, the tempter comes, and remember, he says, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. What does Jesus do? He says, it is written, man shall not live by bread only. You see, the response corresponds directly to the temptation. Devil says, take these stones, turn into bread. Jesus says, but it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So Satan was defeated, but he comes back again. And listen to him this time. If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written. Can you believe that? The devil, the audacity of the devil to quote the Bible back to Jesus? Did you know the devil knows the Bible? He knows it better than we do. And he will use it at times. He will quote it to us just like that. And of course, whenever the devil's quoting to you the Bible, know that there's a problem. And know that he's twisting it in some way. That he's trying to get you to misapply it in some way. But of course, Jesus knows that. And so Satan comes back with, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. They shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus says, yes, but it is also written. See, this is why it's important for us to have a good, thorough knowledge of God's word. This is why we have to immerse ourselves in the word. Because sometimes the devil will try to use God's word. Well, after all, didn't God say this? So Jesus comes back, you missed this, Satan. It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And then, finally, The devil comes and he takes Jesus onto this high mountain. He shows them all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory in an instant. And what does he say to him? He says, all these kingdoms I will give you if you will bow down and worship me. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So each time Satan came with a temptation, Jesus countered with the word of God. That's exactly what we are to do. That's how we combat the devil when it comes to these kinds of things. Now, as we close, I want to remind you of a few things from Scripture, again, that we can apply when the enemy comes and tempts us. So when Satan tempts you to revert to your old habits, which is often what he does, doesn't he? He comes along and he says, oh, yeah, you think you're a Christian, but, you know, no, this is who you really are, and this is how you feel, and this is how you've always behaved, and this is what you've traditionally done, and so he's wanting to see you go back into those old behavioral patterns and habits. How do we resist him? Well, we resist him with the truth. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Everything has become new. When the devil comes with that kind of reasoning, we say, no, I'm not going there because I'm no longer that person. I'm a new creation. Those old things, yeah, that's what I used to do. That's what I used to be. That's how I used to behave. But I'm no longer going to do that because I am a new creation in Christ and old things have passed away. Everything has become new. A similar idea in Romans 6, 11 and 12. Paul says, likewise, you also consider yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. So when the temptation comes along, Paul says, you consider this truth. You're dead to that. You're dead to sin. You're alive to God through Jesus Christ. Yeah, I used to be alive to sin, but now I'm dead to sin. And we have to stand on those truths. So as James said then, submit to God, resist the devil, draw near to God. And this is what we need to do. When we are being tempted, flee. Flee the temptation and run to God. So there are times we flee, but we flee into the arms of God. We run to God. We run to his word. We run to him in prayer. We ask him to help us. We take our refuge in him. We turn away from that thing that's tempting us and trying to pull us in, and we turn to God. You know, sometimes it's as simple as you don't stay home at night and get into whatever you're watching that's getting you in trouble. You get out and you get to church. You get with God's people. You get with other believers. You get with them and you pray. You see, this is what we have to do. Resist the devil. Stand on God's word. And the great promise is Satan will flee. He will flee. And when he comes back around, just do it again. Because that's just, well, that's what we're involved in. But God has the victory for us. It's ours for the taking. Let's take it.
For the month of August, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled Optimisfits by Ben Corson. If you're living life with depression and hopelessness, or if you know someone else who is, then you need to get this book. Ben is known as a hope evangelist, and in this book, you will learn exactly what it means to live a life of hope. The book Optimisfits, Igniting a Fierce Rebellion Against Hopelessness by Ben Corson, is our gift to say thank you for your donation to Back to Basics. So we encourage you to call us right now at 0208-466-5365. or visit us online at brianbrodersen.uk, where you can find more resources or sign up for Pastor Brian's free weekly email devotional. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you by dialing 0-208-466-5365 or by writing us at Back to Basics Radio, P.O. Box 647, Bromley, Kent, BR14WQ. We'll continue next time with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Ephesians. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.